This is the Montreal Bias, official podcast of Rabid Habs Magazine. Zach here with you, along with, as per usual, Sean on the other end of the line, coming from Ottawa. How you doing on this Sunday afternoon there, Mr. O'Neill?
I am doing fucking fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good myself. Weather's nice.
Yeah.
For fall.
Yeah. Giants won.
Giants won, so we're getting our weekly Giants update. Important. That's what the people tune in for. And you're going to be coming in with an annoying skip in your step, aren't you?
Sure am, buddy.
Yeah, 1-10-0 loss, and riding high.
Not two, not three, in the words of LeBron James.
He was wrong about that, though.
Not five, not seven, not eight, not nine, 10-0.
10-0. That was a whopper.
I didn't see the game, actually, unfortunately. I was at a Red Blacks game, actually.
Well, that's unfortunate, too.
And it was fun. Beautiful stadium, but their cell reception there apparently sucks. So I wasn't getting anything coming through on my phone for the first three quarters. And then we went down to like field level for the fourth and my phone just blew up. And I got a couple texts from a couple different people saying like, 8-0, 9-0. And I was like, what the hell are they talking about? This can't be the score of the hockey game. Lo and behold, it was.
Yeah, I got in a little late on Friday evening. But I PVR'd the game, was preparing to start it over. But like you, my phone suddenly became very active. And I was like, well, what the hell is this? Checked in rather than start the game from scratch, saw that it was 7-0, and decided to watch the Raptors cruise past the Miami Heat instead.
Probably a wise decision.
I mean, you've only got so many hours in your life. I don't know that you need to spend three of them dedicated to watching the Habs lose, not to any team, but the Columbus Blue Jackets.
I know. Everything about it was unbelievable.
That was an ugly one, I gotta say. Meanwhile, the Habs are 10-1-1.
They are.
That is the only regulation loss.
What's that?
Say that is the only regulation loss.
Yeah, and I get that argument to a certain extent. I mean, points are points. But there is such a thing as, looking at the underlying numbers and looking at the way the team's playing. And I know they've bucked those trends for a couple years now. But it's a typical Therrien team, right? They're not playing very well. They're getting consistently outshot and outchanced, but they have Carey Price.
So we saw
this Friday night. Listen, he's the best player in the world. When he's in the lineup, they're going to win a lot of games. When he's not in the lineup, they are a dumpster fire of a team.
Is theory by me here. Hear me out on this one. Is it possible that Al Montoya and the rest of the squad saw that their PDO was high? And generally, if your PDO is high, then there's some room for regression to the mean. And they decided, I know what we'll do. We'll take that PDO down hard tonight. That way people don't expect regression. Playing with the advanced stats a little.
That's one way to do it.
Once you get down a couple, say, no, let's go all in tonight. Let's bring that PDO down.
Regression out of the way at once?
Yeah.
That's one way to do it.
You got
to
get your regression out of the way, man. Peak at the right time. Get your regression out of the way at the right time.
Man, we saw, it looks like Carey's healthy and he's playing the best hockey of his career, which is saying something. But we saw last year that this team can fall apart in a hurry.
Yeah, and without leadership.
Without leadership and without goaltending. There's not really much to say at this point because it's really so black and white and it's not rocket science. When he's in there, they're going to win games. And when he's out of there, it's not like there's no talent on the team besides him, but they're just poorly coached and they do not play well when he's not in the lineup.
I mean, go ahead.
All last year I was banging the drum that, okay, Carey's out. We need to go get a league average goalie and this team will still sneak into the playoffs. I don't think that's the case anymore. Everything they do completely revolves around Carey Price. And even if you were to go down again, if you went out and got, Bernier or James Reimer or whoever, like that's not going to be a playoff team. That everything they do and Michel Therrien's entire existence revolves around, Carey being in nets and making 35 saves a night.
Wish I could disagree with you. Really wish I could disagree with you. Especially in this now that we're selling out. I know I should come with a contrary opinion to that, but I have been saying on the recency bias, the mini pod that I do on the morning after games, kind of the 10-1-1. I cannot argue that the 10-1-1 record does not feel vastly inflated.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the counter argument is, you know, you have this once in a generation player, so who cares?
Also true. Also true.
We've been saying for years now that this, you know, the stats are going to catch up with Tyrion. But we've also said to a certain extent that the one thing that advanced stats don't quite seem to capture yet is having a truly, truly, truly dominant goalie. And yeah. It's at the point now where we're talking about Carey in the same breath that we should be talking about, like, Hasek in 98 and 99.
I was wondering that the other day. Are we ready to call Carey Price, this is like the Flacco conversation for hockey, but taken up a notch, super elite?
Yeah.
Is this peak Price, some of the best goaltending that there has been in the history of the game? Not career. You know, I know we haven't seen enough career yet. Everyone calm down to officially place him anywhere on the all-time list. But in terms of performance at peak, this seems pretty peak.
He is playing at a level that I have not seen since Hasek, or at least Brodeur. Even when Thomas won, you know, those couple of Vezinas in a row, I don't even think Thomas was at this level.
Thomas was pretty ridiculous at his best.
Yeah, he was. I know he was.
It pains me to say that because, you know, but his sad day comes Wednesday, so we'll give him a little bit of props, a few more props while we still can here. Yeah, I'm willing to debate that. I'm willing to think about that. And that, even like when he won the Vezina and the Hart at the same time, I don't think I was putting it there. But the way he's kicked off this season again, I mean, this is just all peak.
And the numbers that they're showing every single game, you know, his record over the last 10 games, 15 games, 20 games, 40 games, the numbers he's putting up, especially when you include international competition, are just unparalleled.
No, it's crazy what he's doing right now.
And I mean, there are some good goalies in the league right now. You know, Hank, you know, Lundqvist is still great. Lundqvist
is good. I'm downgrading Lundqvist to only good these days.
Very good. Very good. But what the point I was trying to make is, you know, Lundqvist, Rask, maybe Holtby. There's still some good goalies in this league, but the gap between Carey Price and whoever you want to put numbers 2, 3, 4, 5 is bigger even than the gap between, you know, Carlson and the next best defenseman or Sid and the next best forward.
Okay, so the games recently have not been good.
That Philly game was almost as ugly as the
Philly game was bad. Toronto game was bad.
Yeah.
Columbus game, obviously bad. but the game prior to that, the game right after we last did this podcast, we went out there and declared that one of many, but an important to mark these down in your calendar and circle them in the season and revisit them. It was a measuring stick game, as we declared it. Very important. So the Tampa game was the last time they played decent. Go back to that. With Carey Price, I still think this is a good enough team that they can make some noise. I don't necessarily want to go ahead and say they're Stanley Cup bound. But with Price, they might be damn good.
He is good enough to paper over any other flaws on the roster. He is good enough to make up for the atrocious coaching. He is good enough to make up for the shaky front office. That's how good he is right now. Is that, you know, we're talking about LeBron with some of those shitty Cavs teams or Andrew Luck with the Colts. Like, he's a generational talent who is able to rise above the mediocrity that he's been surrounded with.
And more importantly than that, he wears Wrangler jeans, people. Wrangler jeans. Real. Comfortable. Jeans.
Long pauses. I like it.
I feel he deserves them at this point.
He does.
While we drink in the greatness that is. I mean, he didn't have his best game on Saturday night. Did allow the Flyers to get four, but still stole the game. Still had two saves that I was thinking about for a good five. Well, let's not call it 5 to 10. 2 minutes in bed later. You know what I mean? But I think, yeah, that's going to be my argument now. That's my counter to you as you continue to make valid points that the Canadiens are probably not a great team. At least they haven't been trending that way as of late. And it's a trend that we have historically seen under Michel Therrien. While there's all that evidence on your side of things, I'm going to counter with, who cares? Got Carey Price. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I think that's valid. I mean, it's not even valid. I'm not even really criticizing the team at this point. It's like, listen, it's not a well-coached team. It's not a well-managed team. They're, you know, the forwards are decent, but they're being tethered down by their shitty coach. The defense is okay, although not as good as it could be if they didn't trade someone away.
Who's that?
There's not a lot. There's not no talent on the roster, but the team does not play good hockey.
No.
but they just happen to know that the best player in the world is back there and he's going to bail them out every single night, apparently.
I guess so. Who cares? He's back there. Would the Bulls of the 90s have done it without Jordan, buddy?
You know what? I'm going to say yes.
That's a bold statement. I don't know that I can agree with you. What about the present New England Patriots? You think they're doing that without Tom Brady? You think if they don't have him for the first four games of the year, they're going 3-1 and looking great? I don't watch a lot of football. I have no idea what happened there. All right, enough dancing around the subject. The only reason people are coming back to listen to this podcast week in, week out right now is 76-6, otherwise known as our horse race to see who's winning at this very moment, the Weber for Subban trade. We got our finger on the pulse, our thermometer in the asshole of this conversation to really take the proper temperature. Some big advanced stats coming in this week as we measure this.
Penguins on the road.
Whoa, what's going on there? You got highlights rolling in at us.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up the Preds schedule, but
I see.
Yeah, Rickrolled by ESPN.
Typical. Okay, so here's some things here. You've got on the PK side the Habs 10-0 loss. I think that might be on the Preds are winning the trade side.
Yeah, although in fair,
but
I mean,
to Weber disqualify was
pretty good in that game.
Weber was somehow a zero in the plus minus that night. 10-0 loss and he was a zero. Don't know how that happens.
Yeah, no, that's impressive.
Also, since we last podcast, Shea Weber was named the third star of the week.
Sure.
Oh, you don't value NHL's weekly stars?
Not especially, no.
I'm sorry. Wow, okay. Jesus. Hot takes now. That's more most controversial podcast we've had yet. I don't know how much this counts, but I think it's, you know, as an older brother, there's a leadership there. I know this as the oldest brother. You kind of, people look to you to lead the way at all things. You're an inspiration to many. Malcolm Subban doesn't look very good. I think he might not be an NHL goalie. I'm putting that on PK, I gotta say. So that's against him. And then there's the Laviolette quote earlier this week. Peter Laviolette, coach of your beloved Thrashers.
Yes.
Not Thrashers. You know, Predators.
There we go.
I got your favorite team's name wrong and you didn't even correct me. Man, you may not be as in love with them as you're letting on. Laviolette says the team's lacking some grit and some leadership. Maybe a little tough to playness. Not direct quote.
He didn't say that, did he?
Pretty much. Ugh. You can look up the exact quote. So that was in there. But then there's PK dressed as Prince for Halloween.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't even see if Shea Weber had a costume.
I highly doubt that he did.
It was as a mountain, which a man mountain. I don't know. I'm gonna leave. I've come down with the final say the last couple of weeks. I'm gonna give you this one to give your ruling.
Listen, Weber's been really good. He was even somehow decent in that 10-0 loss, but I'm taking this 10-0 loss as a mini vindication of the lack of intelligence, frankly, in that Habs operation. So I'm giving this week to PK. Although the Preds ain't looking great.
The Prince costume's almost enough, but this is where I want to bring in another hot take. I'll give you the fine. The costume's good enough. I know we're past Halloween and maybe we shouldn't be having this conversation anymore. But can I say I'm not impressed when rich people have nice Halloween costumes? I don't care. Just do not give a shit. You got to spend under $50 and try and look like the thing that you're trying to look like. That's what a Halloween costume is.
I guess I never really thought of it in class terms before, but sure.
This is a class war between those of us who know what Halloween's about. Oh, look, he was able to look exactly like Prince. He makes $9 million a year. not too difficult to get a spot on costume there. Plus,
fair, but Prince is not an easy one to pull off, regardless of who you are.
He didn't even look like he was the same height as Prince. Then I'd be impressed if PK Subban shrunk himself down to Prince size for it. Then we're talking. Plus, controversial, I think, hashtag too soon on this costume.
I don't think so. It was an homage.
Too soon. I'm going with too soon. All right. So that's our weekly check-in. Now you can all turn off the podcast. I know that's why you're all here. But Sean's going to give the edge.
Call it a draw.
What's that?
We'll call it a draw.
A draw this week. All right. So at no point has Subban led in this big trade. Nope. 3 weeks in, I think we can almost call this over.
There's one thing we've learned, that it's that you should judge trades on players that have 8 years remaining on their contracts after a week.
Look, we get one more week where it's either a draw or a Weber win, and I think we might as well stop this. I think it's going to be over, folks. Declare this one done. Much as I did the World Series when Cleveland was up 3-1. Didn't watch the rest away. No point to it. I assume the Indians are champions.
You assume correctly. You didn't miss anything.
I didn't miss a damn thing. That's good. How good was that baseball game?
Woo. Oh, my God.
That was amazing. That's what we should really be talking about. I don't care if you're here for hockey, people. What a game.
Best baseball game I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, I think so. I've been going through it. I can't come up with anything that even really rivals it. Not for the moment that it happened, the stakes and everything else. All right, that was something to marvel at.
Yeah, it was everything about it was just absolutely perfect.
All right, I got some Ottawa questions for you now, as our resident Ottawan.
Right.
Sens are 7-4-1. Are we looking at Guy Boucher magic, or is this just a lucky start? I'm not close enough to know.
The team is not completely devoid of talent, and he is a good coach, and he can maybe sneak him into the playoffs, but I don't know if they're doing much beyond that. This isn't a great team.
So is it Boucher inflation entirely, or they're just – they could play to 7-4-1 for now?
I don't get – I mean, I definitely haven't watched every Sens game. I don't get the impression
you're too invested in the Red Blacks.
I don't get the impression they're playing wildly above their heads.
All right.
They're a weird team. They've been a weird team to figure out for a couple seasons. Right?
Yeah, I have no idea. At no point can I assess that.
Carlson, obviously, you know, their goaltending isn't bad. They've got a couple nice young forwards, but, you know, all in all, you kind of look at the roster and you kind of shrug. But some seasons are kind of – they're half decent. Other years they're kind of, you know, crappy. Like they're just kind of a weird team that seems to be sort of stuck in no man's land perennially.
My advice to them, though, is if it is Guy Boucher magic, ride it while it's hot, because it tends to flame out.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the thing with Boucher. You better use that to your advantage while you can for the first two seasons. If you don't get it right away, then it was a waste.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple coaches like that. Tortorella was even like that before he went off the deep end. Like, you were always going to get a couple good seasons out of him, and then he would just wear on players. Hitchcock's kind of the same way. Keenan was kind of the same. There's some guys who are turnaround coaches who can, you know, they can come in and they can kick some ass and they can make you play above your weight for a season or two, and then it just starts to, the axe starts to get kind of old kind of quick.
Another Ottawa sustainability question.
Sure.
Mike Condon shut out in his first start with the Sens. Can we expect maybe a Vezina season from old Condi?
Based on Twitter, it seems that way.
The redheaded stranger.
Jesus. Listen, I like Condon.
I'm sure he's a nice guy.
There was some good stuff on 24/7 last year. Can we stop talking about him? Like, you know, he was the second coming of Patrick Roy and we gave him away.
He was not good.
He was not good. He's maybe the 60th best goalie in the world.
That's probably true. Yeah, he's not good. He's probably not an NHL goalie.
He's a nice guy who was put in a shitty situation and did about as well as could be expected last year.
He did the best that he could.
And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But can we stop getting misty-eyed about the Mike Condon era?
I was misty-eyed during the Mike Condon era.
Yeah, I was too.
That was the time to get misty-eyed, was when the redheaded stranger was being trotted out there every night. 903 save percentage. It's not good, people.
No.
He was not good. Don't know why.
Get misty-eyed about a Sens goalie. Get misty-eyed about Craig Anderson.
Yeah, seriously. All right, another Ottawa question. A lot of Ottawa takes for you this week.
I'm loving it.
No game on Parliament Hill. What's up with Justin Trudeau? And why doesn't he like it? And is it because it's in the winter and he can't take his shirt off? He wants a summertime outdoor game.
Whoa. Whoa.
Those are my hot takes.
Easy, Ezra.
No way. I'm coming in.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's getting political here on the Montreal bias.
Oh, God. I'm gonna get in trouble regardless how I answer.
Then we'll skip it. Let's blame the NDP.
Fine by me.
Okay. NDP. But no, what? No game on Parliament Hill, man. I was looking forward to that.
I know. I was too. It would have been, you know, for those who don't know, that's where I work. So I was kind of looking forward to watching a game from the office, but not to be. And it's too bad. And I'm sure there was, you know, just a ton of logistical shit that we don't know about that went into the decision. But sometimes, how should I say this? Sometimes Ottawa kind of lives up to its reputation as the city that fun forgot.
And, sometimes, just rarely, the rare occasions.
And it's too bad. Maybe it was just not doable, but it would have been friggin' cool.
It's a shame. Apparently, it's.
If you could have Leafs Sens or Habs Sens in front of the Peace Tower in the middle of winter, and you know it's snowing, and Austin Matthews scores a hat trick or something, or that would have been fun, but it was not meant to be, I suppose.
Lame Ottawa. I don't want to see it anywhere else in Ottawa. If it's not there, I'm not interested.
You're not entirely wrong. TD Place is nice, but it's not as.
Who cares? I don't care. If it's a TD Place.
Yeah, fair enough.
Do much for me. Or play on the canal. I'm pro putting that game on the canal on actual ice.
Yeah,
that's all they got left. That's the next level of making this pond hockey thing a reality. Oh, imagine the CBC's jerking off over that actual ice.
My guess is that's not in the cards either, but that would be pretty cool.
No, it's probably not in the cards, but thanks to global warming. All right, those are all my Ottawa questions. You got any Toronto questions for me?
Do I have any Toronto questions for you? How is the mood in Toronto? Like, you know.
They're pretty positive.
Yeah, well, they should be.
Yeah, well, I mean, other than Freddie Anderson, who remains bad. But it's just so funny how excited they get. It's cute. Like, they beat the Vancouver Canucks the other night, 5-3. And
that was a bananas game.
Yeah, it was. But you'd think right now, just based on their reaction, that that was minimum a first-round playoff win. Very excited about it. And you know, it's fun to watch them get their hopes up. And it's fun to know that in some way this will all come crashing down on them.
Yeah. I mean, this is the most legitimate reason they've had to hope in a long time.
Yeah, I suppose. But I mean, let's the early 90s, it was a good team.
Yeah, sure.
Still sucked for them. It's going to always suck for them. Speaking of Toronto, how about Mike Babcock? Did you hear his little coaching shade this week?
Yeah, I did see that.
You don't see enough of that. I want more coaches telling the other coach what he did wrong in the game against him.
Sign me up.
For our listeners,
Oh, God, just after every Habs game, it'd be a nonstop.
Like, imagine on Friday night if after Torts had thrown some shade Michel Therrien's way for leaving Montoya in for all 10.
Yeah, I'm a little, given that it's Torts, I'm a little surprised that he didn't, but.
Yeah, if anyone would have, I mean, I say that. No, apparently if anyone would have, it's Mike Babcock.
Fair.
Oh, yeah, you can't be leaving a goalie in there for all 10. It's just not the way it's played.
I mean,
I went to McGill. I know Montreal. I know Will, and you can't leave a guy like Montoya in there hold for 10. It's going to shake his confidence.
The Brian Burke Kevin Loeb thing was pretty much the most entertaining thing that's happened in the NHL since the 80s.
Barn fight.
Yeah, the barn fight. the potential barn fight. We need more of that.
We do. We need more barn fights. So what it was Babcock essentially said that McClellan in Edmonton played Connor McDavid too much in the first period, and that he was tired.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know that you can tire out a 19-year-old this early in the season. I feel like that's not actually going to have an effect on the game. It's not like he played 18 minutes in the first period. He played like 8 to 10 or something, kind of normal.
I think Babcock is a really good coach, but sometimes he says some weird shit.
There's no doubt. I mean, he went to McGill, so he thinks really highly of himself. That's just part of his DNA now. He can't be wrong. He went to McGill, so he's never going to check himself. And once in a while, when you don't check yourself, you tend to say things that might be out of line. That's why we're always checking ourselves here on this podcast. We've got to make sure, you know, we know how to self-assess. Mike Babcock, maybe not.
Not so much. Yeah, I know.
Also heard people just saying, like, a lot of opinions outside of his left-handed defenseman, left-hand side, right-handed, right-hand. Like, as much as he believes in that, like, biblically, there's not a lot of evidence to show that that's all that valuable either. Like, this, he definitely, when he thinks he must be hard to shake his opinion on things, is my guess.
I feel like I had never heard anyone give a shit about left-hand shot, right-hand shot until about 2 years ago.
Yeah, seriously. I don't think that had been a thing until my Babcock decided it was.
Yeah, and I'm not convinced he's right on that one.
I'm also not convinced he was even right about too much, Connor. I think he was just messing with McClellan for some reason.
Fair.
All right, we're getting to the point in this podcast, another important point. A little mid-podcast interview. I believe you'll be interviewing me this week. You ready?
I am. All right. I always forget about this until you bring it on me.
It's not like we prepare too much. All right, let me get the towel on. Okay, I feel good. Let's do this.
All right, Zach, good podcast out there. Good podcast. Talk me through it.
You know, I knew Sean would be coming with his 10-0 takes real quick, real early. You just got to be prepared for that after the weekend that we had. That's going to be the thing. But the 10-1-1 record, that's something that we've seen be a decent retort so far for us this season. So I've been glad to bring the 10-1-1 record as an argument. And now I think the rest of the podcast, I'm just going to be pushing that, we have Price, so it doesn't matter how the rest play opinion.
And talk about Price a little bit. Talk about it.
Nice. Good job. I mean, Pricey, you can't beat Pricer back there. He gives me, you know, when I'm sitting on the couch watching the games at home, or maybe even quitting and flipping over to other things, he's the reason I have any belief in this team at all. He's the reason that, you know, you get up in the morning and can continue to watch these games. He's the whole thing for us right now, yeah.
All right, go have fun out there.
Thanks. That was good. I might have been our best one of those yet.
Oh, we're getting into our groove.
We're really finding ourselves in these mid-podcast interviews.
So nice. I think I kind of came to a conclusion over the weekend.
Ooh, all right. Here it is.
I continue with this existential crisis of whether I'm still a Habs fan or not. I think they are still my favorite hockey team. But I want them to go 0-82 and lose every game 10-0.
Oh, you're going to need to talk about that.
Yeah, so I don't know where that leaves me. The amount of just pure joy I got out of that loss was borderline creepy.
Yeah, no, it was. Some of the pictures showed me about how excited you were beyond that borderline, be honest.
You know, I still refer to them as we when I'm talking about them. I have to catch myself. Like, almost all of my banking and internet passwords are Habs related. My keychains, you know, I still got the Habs keychain and all the Habs sweaters and shit lying around. It's a tough disease to shake, so, and I'll probably just reluctantly be a quasi-Habs fan for a while, but, oh man, like, I was so damn happy when they lost 10-0. I don't know if a Habs win has ever made me that happy.
I know that's not true. I've seen you quite joyous after some wins, but go on, continue this.
Yeah, I'm just, it was a small vindication for, you know, there was a lot of praise being thrown Bergevin and Therrien's way during the first 10 games of the season. So Bergevin Twitter and Therrien Twitter and all their apologists were pretty quiet Friday night. So that was kind of nice.
Here's where I'll come down on this. And this is in nearly all seriousness. I still obviously don't agree with the Subban trade. But I do think the rest of the moves that Bergevin made in the offseason have been good to great for the Canadians. They have improved the team. Specifically Radulov, but Shaw's been good. Everything else. And you know what? As far as the on-ice goes right now, Weber has been good. Better than I thought he was. I will say that as well. The problem with this team, as it always has been, I think, is in large part maybe Michel Therrien. And it's only Bergevin sticking with MT, and now the Subban trade on top of that. But as I say, that has been okay so far this season. That's really the big mistake for him.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. And like you said, every other move he's made has worked. I was really skeptical about Radulov, and he looks fantastic. The Shaw thing, I wasn't super enthused about either, and he's been very Shaw-like. But yeah, the main concerns, besides the fact that he traded a franchise defenseman for a player who's older and not as good, is his bizarre, stubborn insistence on sticking with a coach who is clearly out of his element.
And the start isn't going to help get rid of him. We're going to see Terry A, at least for this whole season. I'm willing to put that out there right now.
Yeah, I think absolutely. Unless something completely bizarre happens, unless it was four games in a row, 10-0, he's safe.
Well, that won't happen because they already won.
Fair. So yeah, the main problem I have with Bergevin is the foxhole thing with Terrier, and then, you know, he does tend to overvalue the stupid intangible shit, but it's hard, to a certain extent, it's hard to argue with the results.
Agreed.
And, you know, if he was that concerned about character and stuff, he wouldn't have brought in Radulov and Shaw.
No, I think that was a spin that's mostly was meant for justifying the PK Subban trade and nothing else. And
yeah,
I will say I kind of went back and was reading where a lot of that Subban character stuff came from. More of it came from the Subban from PK himself than I realized.
Yeah, that's you could tell it. He did not want to leave, man.
No, the more you look back on who was saying it was a character thing, it was generally PK himself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he obviously felt, you know, not welcome in that room.
And I'm going to... And
it wasn't... There's no way it could possibly have been because of his play, so...
Do you think... I'm going to ask you this for real. Do you think the team, a majority, a plurality of the Canadiens dressing room had an issue?
I think it was split down the middle.
I think that might be true.
And I think they made the wrong choice.
I think that's likely the case as well. Damn it. I'm agreeing with you. This is no good.
We kind of talked about this earlier in the week, but, and I don't think management's frankly much higher on Pacioretty than they were on Subban.
No, I agree.
Just A, you're going to get more in return for PK, and B, PK costs almost twice as much. But it's hard not to think about what this team would be like if they just traded Pacioretty instead.
Yeah. But you're not going to trade Pacioretty because his contract's so sweet.
It is a great contract. I'd rather have PK at 9 than Pacioretty at 5.5. But it is that was probably the deciding factor.
And the return, no, because of that sweet contract, the return on Pacioretty might be decent as well. Though I still think getting Weber is more than you would have got for dealing Pacioretty.
Oh yeah, they would have traded Pacioretty for Kreider or something.
Ugh, that would have been ugly. Wanted to get to this. Andre Markov gets his first goal of the season, and immediately I said, oh, it's time to jump to Instagram, see where we're at, see if we can start putting two and two together here. He hasn't Instagrammed at all since that Halloween one.
He's committing to the game.
There you go. Good read on that. I'm glad you're picking up on these things now.
Not so concerned about his brand.
Yeah.
So if there's one thing I think of it when I think about Andre Markov, it's relentless cultivation of his brand.
Oh my God, it's enough with that already, right?
You thought PK was bad.
Andre Markov, a little self-obsessed, a little bit too busy putting himself out there, concentrating on the games again.
He's not looked good, has he?
Nope.
Looked good, and Plex has looked fucking atrocious.
Yeah, he does not look good at all. But Plex sometimes looks atrocious, especially at the beginning of the year. I'm willing to wait on Plex. Markov, I'm like, I don't know. But now that he's not obsessed with Instagram, maybe he's back. Anyway, maybe. I'm just saying, let's keep an eye on that. Dedicated listeners, as we follow this Markov thing trail closely. Other news. Oh yeah, I wanted to get to this on the when we were talking about Michel Therrien, because I think it's interesting. So there's another podcast out there about hockey. We're not the only one. I was surprised to learn. Came as a shock. So there's competitors. So I'm glad we've decided to step things up this season.
Must eliminate them.
Exactly. Just keep that. Maybe don't broadcast that to everybody. that's off air talk is what we like to say. Sean.
Right.
Okay. So it's called Spit and Chicklets. It's part of the Barstool Empire. Ryan Whitney, former NHLer Ryan Whitney's on that thing. with another guy named Rear Admiral. Amazing accents on that podcast. Listen to it for the accents alone. My recommendation. But Ryan Whitney spent a few years under Michel Therrien in both the minors and I think with the Penguins as well. And he was just, you know, he hates Michel Therrien. So if you do not like Michel Therrien, like many Habs fans out there, and you are looking for a place to arm yourself with some additional reason to dislike Michel Therrien, I recommend giving Spit and Chicklets a try simply for that. Not because we are the only hockey podcast you need. We just don't quite have the insight into stories about Michel Therrien that Ryan Whitney does. And the reason I want to bring this up in particular was because earlier in the season, and you wrote this on the forum, and I think you'd mentioned on the podcast as well, you, in your mind, there was absolutely no way Michel Therrien would have actually uttered the words, he is the worst Max Pacioretty is the worst captain in Montreal Canadiens history on the golf course, correct?
Correct.
Correct. Well, and I agreed with you. I was also maybe not woke enough to this cause. But it's Ryan Whitney was telling a story on Spit and Chicklets the other day, in which suddenly I feel like maybe he did say that on the golf course. Because there's a story of Marc-Andre Fleury and having a bad game, I think in Hershey, or wherever it was, the Wilkes-Barre,
yeah.
I don't really care, I'll be honest. Wherever it was that he was coaching, Marc-Andre Fleury had a bad game. And so Therrien actually called out the goalie, which I think is a rare thing for coaches to do anyways. But he's screaming at Therrien, at Fleury, between periods, that he is the worst first overall pick in the history of the NHL. So this is a quote-for-quote thing that actually happened. I actually don't think Fleury is the worst first overall pick, but that's just my opinion. So to me, that led some credence to the fact that maybe Michel Therrien did actually utter those words about Max Pacioretty.
I mean, I don't think Therrien is one to bite his tongue.
No.
And I don't think he really gives a shit if his players like him or not.
Never has seemed to be the case at all.
No. And he might even be the kind of guy who kind of, you know, sort of demeans his players to get results instead of sort of trying to prop them up.
Yep.
I definitely discounted it when I heard the story just because it seemed like one of those made up Montreal media things, but maybe there's something to it.
I think there is something to it. I'm going to put the label on it. That's a sound effect, by the way. There's something to this. It's like the Mythbusters, except on a much smaller scale. You know what they say, though? Where there's smoke, there's fire, Sean.
I've never heard that, but it's a lovely expression.
Wow. All right. You're kind of new to the English language.
Clearly. As anyone who's listening to this podcast can tell you.
All right. Let's not linger too much longer on this bad boy. Anything else you feel you need to get out of here? We got a few more bits we got to get into before we finish. But while we're still in the opinion portion of the program, anything else you want to talk about Habs related?
No, I think no. I'm good.
All right, good. We can move on to some of the big stuff that people have been waiting for. Number one, we talked about this. I previewed this on my Twitter feed at Zach Drops Tweets. We're now bringing controversial opinions to the podcast every week, so I hope you got yours ready.
I do, but go first, because I don't.
I knew that, but all right. And I tweeted this one out, so this is for the people who follow me on Twitter. They already know what I'm coming at here. But I think it needs to be said again. So the one that I teased out there was Fleetwood Mac sucks.
Accurate.
And Rumours is a trash album. And I say that because apparently Rumours is celebrating some anniversary and everybody's writing their pieces about, oh, the great Fleetwood Mac and how legendary Rumours is and everybody owns that trash album. And I just want to say, you're all wrong. It's absolutely garbage.
So this can just be comments on anything. This doesn't.
Oh, this is generally not hockey. It's going to take a strong hockey opinion to be even controversial. These need to be legit controversial to get the people talking.
So just my hottest take on anything?
The hottest take on anything at all.
All right. I think America's headed in the wrong direction. Like we've had 8 years of stagnant growth and weakness abroad.
Yeah, okay.
And I think it's time to make America great again.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize we were going to go there on the Montreal Bias. It's a hot take. There you go. So you heard
what
it here.
What are your plans Tuesday night to watch the apocalypse unfold?
I got my bunker ready.
That's not a bad idea.
Settled into the bunker. And I got one more controversial. It's mildly controversial, but I was at a place the other day in Detroit, not to brag. And I went into a coffee shop, bagel shop, super tasty, but wanted some water because maybe I'd been out the night before having a time.
Yeah.
Needed to quench the thirst.
Yeah.
They kindly had like the free water and the thing that you can pour in the cup, but had cucumbers in it. And I got to say, I know it's supposed to be fancy and they do it at spas and shit, but cucumber water, also trash.
I'm gonna have to disagree with you there.
Why? Why can't we just drink water? Why is it gotta have a little bit of? Why is the flavor in it need to be the shittiest vegetable?
Oh, that is not the shittiest vegetable.
What's the shit? Oh, now we're getting into the hottest takes, most controversial opinion. What is the shittiest vegetable?
Have you ever had lima bean water? It's disgusting.
You don't like lima? No, that's a cup of flavors. What I like to call that. Soak them lima beans in there for a little. I don't like the addition. I don't even like a lemon in the water. I'm gonna say it.
I mean, you're right that it's unnecessary, but I don't find it disgusting.
I don't find it disgusting. I drank it all. It was fine, but fair. It was worse than regular water.
That's fair. All right.
Oof. I expect we will break some records on listeners now that we've put these hot opinions out there. And finally, I think this is controversial as well. And I know we're coming at you with a lot more controversial opinions than we planned on.
Like Skip and Shannon.
Exactly. Except you can understand both of us. there's been too much Gretzky lately.
Nah.
I know he took some time away from the NHL, but now he's got a book and it's full on Gretzky saturation, and he's a very boring individual. He's only meant to be shown in just momentarily 80s hair flapping in the wind as he does one thing or another. But I mean, he's sitting down with Bill Simmons to the point that they canceled that show due to the over Gretzky boring saturation. Though that was actually the most interesting Gretzky interview I might have ever seen. Still kind of dull. Good. It's too much now. There's too much Gretzky. Take a step back, Gretzky.
It's nice to have him back, though. It was super weird to have an NHL where Gretzky was persona non grata.
Too much. Too much.
Well, I don't think it's going to become a reoccurring thing.
Better not. Had enough of that bullshit. But from that anger, it's time to get into the positive space. So we have this to take back all the negativity. Allow me to get gamed up here. You got your positive message for the week?
Oh, always, buddy.
All right. Into that, we should play some Bob Marley or something as we do this. So my positive spin this week, despite the fact that the Canadiens lost 10-0 on Friday night to the horrible Columbus Blue Jackets, Carey Price's statistics not hurt one bit, not even a dent in his in his Vezina run again this year. Michel Therrien, genius.
And my positive spin, and you wouldn't fucking hear this from anybody ever, but take a close look at how the Habs started off last year. Here's a little hint. They went 9-0-1, and PK had just as many points as Shea Weber did. So maybe hold off on crowning Bergevin the GM of the century for a while.
I'll do one more week, but then I'm crowning him GM of the century if this continues to trend in the right direction.
How fucking happy is Michel Therrien that he lucked into Carey Price?
I mean, that's his NHL. He's still getting paid for that reason.
Yep.
That's a fact. All right, that's the program for yet another week. Oh, no, before we go, in more positive news, you're doing your face is clean right now. Or at least it was a few days ago.
It was a few days ago, and it's getting a little greasy.
Okay, it's starting to get a little greasy because you're doing the Movember thing.
Yeah.
And so I think we should try and see if some of our listeners out there want to support you. I said for every podcast that we do, every episode of the Montreal Bias that we do during the month of November, so this is to encourage us both to do this. Well, I guess not me because it's money out of my pocket, but encourage us to jump on this more in November. I'll give $10 to your cause for every one of these bad boys that we throw down. But let people know how they can support you as you cleaned your face up and you're just growing nothing but stash.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Yeah, I've been wanting to do it for a couple of years, never did for no real reason besides general laziness. Finally decided this was the year to do it, so I'm cultivating a pretty sweet stash. Still not sure which way I'm going to go, if it's going to be the Hulk Hogan or the Ned Flanders or the Tom Selleck or something else, but it's getting there. I've kind of got the awkward, like, you know, the stash that the 15-year-old is proud of but shouldn't be type thing going on right now. But I'll tweet it out. Basically, right now I've been doing it mostly through Facebook, so just look me up on Facebook, and we'll send something out from the Twitter account as well. And if anyone out there is so inclined to throw a few shekels our way, it would be very much appreciated. It goes towards a good cause. It's all in support of men's health, and I think specifically mental health and prostate cancer. So, yeah, I've raised a couple hundred myself, and the team I'm on, we're up to about 1,300 or so, I think.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's all for a good cause. I get to grow a sweet stash and feel like a man for once. So, yeah, not too shabby.
Now, I'm sure most of our loyal listeners know this because I bring it up with some frequency. You've been a long-time beard man.
Long-time beardo, yeah.
Like you said, you haven't done this, even though it's for a very good cause. You've been too lazy to help out this very good cause for a few years because you don't want to shave. And I get that because shaving sucks. But how is shaving going now that you're having to keep parts of your face clean as you grow this child stash into a man stash?
It's just fucking annoying.
Yeah, it is a little annoying. I have to do it every day to not look like a petter, but.
Yeah, fair. And, yeah, because normally it's, you know, I never shave and I just trim it up once every 2 weeks or something. So, yeah, it's just a pain in the ass.
Maybe we can spin this good cause into just straight cash for us as well. Dollar Shave Club seems to sponsor every other podcast out there.
That's a good point.
Send us free stuff so Sean can shave Dollar Shave, and maybe we'll even it'll be supporting another good cause at the same time. Our back pocket. Maybe I'll double if Dollar Shave Club sponsors this. I'll triple down on my commitment to your cause of $10. It'll be. Hell, I'll make it $50 a podcast if Dollar Shave wants to get in. That's right, Dollar Shave. It's up to you to make me generous. That's the kind of advertising. We're very good at getting advertising.
We're clearly pros at this.
Shame them. Shame them into advertising with you. All right, that does it. We're out of here. We'll tweet out the thing donate to Sean and his mustache, and we also got to get pictures. People got to see what's going on with the old caterpillar.
Yeah, we'll tweet out a pic as well.
The duster. All right. Until next week, find me at Zach Drops Tweets. Find Sean at The O'Neill Factor. This podcast at The Montreal Bias. Rabbit Habs at Rabbit Habs. Those are all the Twitter accounts. Check back to Rabbit Habs Magazine all week long. Whole bunch of more stuff coming your way, including every morning after the Recency Bias with myself. And we also got the Habs game blog from AJ Bissett breaking it down for you every morning after as well. So lots of good stuff on Rabbit Habs. Thanks for listening. Review on iTunes to do, et cetera, et cetera. But as I requested on the Recency Bias the other day, or just tell people about the podcast. Let them know that if they're too sick of getting educated and in well-informed opinions, we're here for them.